Hi, Deb.
Hi, Allison. I have a bit of a laryngitis. I'd like to welcome Allison Bechdel to the show. Dykes and Mikes, we're in the back of L'Androgyne in the storeroom. It's the 25th anniversary celebrations, and you are part of the celebration, so welcome to town.
Thank you.
And the idea here will be to ask you something that maybe you haven't already talked about ad nauseum tonight. I wonder what that could be. Do you make a living? You make a living from your books?
I do. Am I close enough here? Yeah, since 1990, this has been my only job. Well, I do other freelance illustration things, but basically, this is what I do. Yeah, I do make a living.
That's excellent. Did you think when you started writing that you'd be making a living writing about dykes?
No, it never occurred to me in my wildest dreams. I started doing this just for fun. I gave it away for free to a feminist paper that I was working on. This was in the early 80s, you know, when people did things like that. No, it never occurred to me that I would actually make my living as a cartoonist. When I was a little kid, I wanted to be a cartoonist. But as I got older, I grew out of that. You know how you get your dreams and fantasies kind of beaten out of you, and people
squished.
Say, that'll never work. You know, no one makes a living as a cartoonist. But somehow then I lucked back into it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a hard thing, I should think, to make a living as a cartoonist and then to focus on lesbians, although on the one hand, you've got a particular market, so...
Yes, it's a double... edged thing. I mean, it does seem insane that a person could make a living as a lesbian cartoonist. It still amuses me. But on the other hand, I think it's given me an edge. You know, there's this audience of people who are really, really eager to see stories about their lives in a way that straight people aren't so eager. They get it all the time, everywhere. And so I think... my audience has been incredibly loyal and supportive, and has really like nurtured me along in a way that I don't think would have happened if I were doing, you know, a strip about straight people. So mm-hmm. I feel really lucky.
And it's that slice of life thing that's been, that's part of the whole strip, I guess, and it's been going on for so many years that really, just out here, right, people coming up to you and saying that... they really identify with a particular character, or love this character, or people are into it. They're into the lives.
Or they have a crush on a character. Two people tonight. One had a crush on Clarice, one on Tony.
What do you think about that?
I think it's great. I love it.
Yeah. Do you work, I guess I'm looking for where you're inspired from.
My original inspiration in doing this was... that I wanted to see my own life reflected. That, you know, back in the early 80s, everyone was always talking about lesbian visibility. We want to see reflections of our lives. And that's kind of what prompted me, what fed me to do it, because I just loved what we were in the world, and I wanted to capture that and reflect it back. But now that that's more... that happens more, you know, like... Ellen is on television and lesbians are in all the magazines, and now I kind of wish there were less lesbian visibility, you know, in terms of all that mainstream appropriation. But now my motivation is more just I'm really involved with the characters and their lives, and I just really, really want to capture moments of life in, you know, in a two-dimensional format. It's just always been a big challenge to me, and what keeps me trying to attempt it, you know?
Pushing these characters along, and their lives intersect, and some leave, and some come back.
Yeah. Mostly someone once compared it to a Roach Motel. Characters come in, but they don't ever leave. It's sort of unrealistic in that way. Like, in a real community, people are always moving off to go to school, or they get involved with someone across the country.
But you're keeping them all together.
Yeah, that's a little artistic license that I'm taking.
How about the Dykes to watch out for, the television show? Do you have any, like, you know, hopes or dreams of that?
I have mixed feelings about it. A lot of people ask me about that, and even some, like, people who might actually be able to make that happen eventually have talked to me a little bit about it, and... you know, people who know about animation and stuff. Part of me would love to see that happen, and part of me is really wary of losing control of... I think the larger the audience that you speak to is, the smaller your message can be. It just seems like that's sort of the law, the unspoken law. And I'm really happy with the size of my message right now. And if it would mean saying less, I'm not interested in speaking to more people, you know? So I don't know if I want to... It sounds kind of pompous. I don't know if I want to do anything more mainstream than what I'm doing, I guess, is what I'm saying.
But your audience is growing, though, right? Because you're syndicated in some... are they weekly newspapers, or...?
Yeah. I'm syndicated in about 60 papers, I think, across the country, in the U.S. and in Canada.
And what percentage of them are gay and lesbian?
Most of them. I have, maybe five of those are... I wouldn't call them mainstream, but are not gay and lesbian specific papers, like alternative weeklies or comics anthologies, like the Funny Times. I don't know if you've seen that. So.
And there's a community of cartoonists here. Like, I saw you with some local Montreal cartoonists.
Yeah. Leanne Franson and I are pals. We've met we met at Michigan, actually, the Michigan Women's Music Festival. There's a bunch of people, and I was really disappointed that Eric couldn't come tonight. Eric Orner, who does the most The Unfabulous Social Life of Ethan Green, the longest comic strip name in the world. It's funny, I think gay and lesbian cartoonists have a real kind of tight-knit little community in a way that gay and lesbian writers don't. I think there's a lot more competition and insecurity that goes on among writers, but the cartoonists are a pretty laid-back bunch.
And do you travel a lot? Do you get to meet other cartoonists quite often?
I see people. There's a whole nucleus of them that lives in New York City, and I see them once a year. Jennifer Camper and Howard Cruz and Joan Hilty and Ivan Velez. And then there's conferences and things that I see people at. I travel a fair amount, more than I would like to. I'm not a very good traveler.
Where do you live?
Northern Vermont, outside of Burlington, in the country.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't, I've lived there for 7 years, and this is the first trip I've made to Montreal. Can you believe that? So, I didn't know it was so close. I just was...
I've been to Berlin.
Why? but now that I know how simple it is to get here, I will come back.
Thanks for giving us your time.
Sure, thank you very much.
Yeah, see you next time.
Okay.